Healy, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Remember, you can always stream current and past episodes at huntleyradio.com. Michael Thomas is a brilliant guitarist who has played with such well-known bands as Faster Pussycat, Beautiful Creatures, and Engines of Aggression. He is currently thrilling audiences as the lead guitarist for Hall of Fame rock icon Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses. In addition to working with Steven Adler, Michael also recently released the single Take Me from his upcoming solo album. I am a huge fan of Michael Thomas and am so excited to have him on the program to talk about some of his intimate knowledge of being a successful hard rock and heavy metal guitarist. All right, Michael, welcome to the show. I wanted to get right back to the where it really began for you. When did you first pick up the guitar?
You know, it actually happened pretty young for me. I was infatuated by bands like Kiss, you know, these larger than life characters.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that was a huge influence on me from a very, very early age. So I actually started playing the guitar at age 10. And, you know, at that age, you're still pretty young. And sometimes, you know, it's lessons don't really stick. So I actually kind of faltered a bit and then ended up putting that guitar in the back of the closet for a year or two. And then a couple years later, I had a buddy who started taking guitar lessons. And I sat in on one, and the instructor was really cool, and he made it really interesting. He just kind of knew how to tailor it to a younger audience and kind of show results fairly quickly by using tablature instead of music theory, like reading music notes. So honestly, I was kind of hooked, because after the first lesson I had with this guy, he had shown me how to play the intro to, I think it was Black Tiger by Y&T. And it connected all these dots to me, because I was like, oh my goodness, like I understand how to put this together. And so then I was hooked from there on out. From 12 on, it was nothing but guitar. The most effective way to really start honing my chops was to play along with every album that I had in my collection. So I started training my ear, and I started kind of picking out songs. And, you know, before you know it, I was playing along to every album, every CD that I had in my collection, which, you know, at that time was a lot of, you know, great rock music from the 80s. And it was really beneficial years down the line, because when I would get these calls for tours, it would be things like a real quick turnaround, like, hey, you know, we need somebody to fill in for this tour. Here's 15 songs. You're going to have one rehearsal, then you're on a plane to London.
Now, you mentioned that you went through your CD collection and learned how to play every song, you know, just playing along with the CDs. You mentioned Kiss. Who were some of your other influences that really spoke to what your style is today?
You know, it's a combination of things. And it's funny, because when I hear some of my music, and I've written a bunch of music, not just for myself, but for other artists. There's sometimes I'll hear like little hints of things, and I go, oh, wow, that sounds like this, or it sounds like that. So I loved the Ozzy Osbourne, Randy Rhoads tribute album. That live album was a huge, huge influence on me. Then you have guys like Joe Perry, you know, all mm-hmm. the Aerosmith stuff, especially like the early 70s Aerosmith, that I just thought was phenomenal. There were other bands coming up in the ranks at that time, like Guns N' Roses, and Skid Row, you know, a lot of those rock artists. What I loved about those guys is they all kind of had their own kind of signature sound, right? So when you hear Joe Perry play, you kind of know it's Joe Perry. If you hear Slash play, you definitely know it's Slash. when you hear a guy like Angus Young from AC/DC play, you know it's Angus. And I always looked up to those guitar players that could emote through their guitar. So without even hearing a vocal, if you heard the guitar being played, like Eric Clapton, man, you just knew exactly who it was. You didn't need that vocal cue to go, oh, that's so-and-so with this band or it's that band. I think that's one of the greatest things that you can achieve as an artist. And it's one of the most difficult for an instrumentalist, because emoting through an instrument is much different than using your voice.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, all these great guitarists have their own signature sound. And you, I count you among them. You are just a phenomenal guitarist. How would you describe your sound?
Well, first, thank you for that. I really appreciate the compliment. My sound, you know, it's funny because I feel like I have so many influences wrapped up into one. I feel like from a songwriting standpoint, it tends to lean towards more traditional classic rock and pop. You know, I love a good heavy groove that's very catchy. When it comes to the guitar solos, you know, again, it's funny. I feel like some of the songs, I hear these influences of like the Jakey Lee mixed in with blues licks from guys that I looked up to, like I was saying, Slash, Angus Young, even some obscure artists. So I always thought Mick Sueda from the Bullet Boys had a pretty cool, unique signature sound at some of his stuff as well. Obviously, you know, you've got Zeppelin and the rest, you know, that are monikers from the classic rock days. So it's hard to put my finger on one kind of style to define me, because I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to work with so many different artists that I feel like I have a pretty big paint box to pull from.
Now, you mentioned that a lot of the work that you've done has been coming into existing bands that have an existing sound, you know, like Faster Pussycat, or now with Steven Adler, who plays a lot of Guns N' Roses tunes. So you're recreating a sound that somebody else has pioneered. What is your obligation to the original artist when you're recreating those songs?
That's a great question. You know, I always feel like you have to do the song justice, but find small pockets of opportunity to kind of do your own thing or make it your own, right? So there are songs that are just so signature that you really can't stray from the formula. And I'll give you a couple examples. So for Steven, songs like Welcome to the Jungle or Sweet Child of Mine, you know, those you pretty much gotta follow the format. There are a few opportunities and liberties that I take in some songs, like Civil War or say like Anything Goes, where I can find little pockets to kind of do my own thing and intertwine it with the pre-existing song and structure. So, you know, with the real heavy classics, the most iconic ones, I think it always serves you best just to, you know, follow the formula, because those songs are just so ingrained in people's memories and their heads that, you know, a lot of them know those guitar solos note for note. A lot of them are kind of humming it along back to you. When we go to South America, I was amazed. When we would play those songs, those kids would be going nuts and they'd be almost kind of yelling the notes of the guitar solo back to me as I was playing it. So you definitely don't want to stray from the formula, right? I feel like other artists with like Faster Pussycat, I definitely took a lot more liberties. I didn't follow all the guitar solos note for note just because I wanted to put my own flavor in there. And I felt like there was room to do that. So I think it's a case by case basis, but you always want to serve the song justice. And I think it really is more catering to the fans, because, you know, it's really for them. They're coming to the show because they want to hear those songs and making it identifiable. So they leave with a smile on their face and they feel like, you know, they got what they came to see.
Now, you're interacting with the fans, and you have great interaction with the fans in your live shows. And when you're doing that, you kind of get an energy from them. When do you know that they're willing to give you a little more freedom to show your own stuff? How do you know that feeling?
You know, I think you make that connection with the audience almost immediately. Like, when we come out on the stage, there is just so much energy. And what I love about, say, the band with Steven is we all truly love going out there and playing. That energy and that camaraderie on stage, there's nothing planned. There's nothing contrived. That's just us going out and having a great time. That smile that you always see on Steven's face, that's completely genuine. And I think when we're on stage, that's, you know, the most raw, open and honest that all five of us are at any given point of the day, you know, because there's, you know, the 90 minutes on stage and there's the other, 22 and a half hours, that it takes to get to the stage. And, you know, we just truly have a great time hanging out with one another. It's definitely been a family. I've been working with Steven now for almost 20 years. So I think when the audience sees that, it really helps make that connection. And when we come out on stage from the get-go, there's a lot of energy. And we don't let up on the gas. And then lately, I've been doing this really just fun moment with the audience in front of Welcome to the Jungle, where I'll get to connect with them and go out to the front of the stage and kind of whittle around on some licks, tease them with that little intro piece of Welcome to the Jungle, and go into a few other things to really kind of rile up the crowd. And I just feel like those things work fabulous in conducting that energy. And it's a real, you know, back and forth. And what I love and what I hear a lot after the show is that, you know, people just have a great time from start to finish. And they're repeat offenders. You know, every time we come to town, they come back to see the band because everybody gives 110%. It's just, it's nonstop from start to finish.
Oh, yeah. You guys put on just an amazing show. You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always stream our shows at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm talking to Michael Thomas, the amazing guitarist for Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses fame. Michael also has a killer new solo single out called Take Me that you will definitely want to listen to and add to your collection. For information on Michael Thomas, his single and upcoming solo album, and his touring dates with Steven Adler, visit michaelthomas19.com. Now, are there any guitarists that are a little intimidating to try and recreate their sound? We've talked about Slash, Joe Perry, Randy Rhoads. Who are the ones that it's like, oh boy, can I do this?
You know, I think any of them honestly are intimidating. You know, those are all big shoes to fill. I just feel like you want to do it justice. You want to find those shots where you can kind of, you know, meander in your own things, your own kind of feel. But when you think about it, any of those guys, you know, are such legends. And those songs are so iconic that I don't take any of it lightly. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other artists that are just completely off the charts. When you think of their guitar playing, guys like Yngwie Malmsteen, or Jason Becker, or Steve I. Like, I would never want to touch any of that material because that's almost like doing math to me, you know? And I'm not good at math. So, I mean, those are incredibly intimidating guitar players.
Now, I want to talk about your new single, and you're also working on a full solo album. Let's talk about the single first. It's called Take Me. Can you describe the sound of it and kind of where you got your inspiration?
Yeah, you know, the song I've had for a little while, and it was one of those songs that I always loved the chorus and the verse to that song. It was written originally on an acoustic guitar, and just the flow of it is just so natural, and the chorus has such a big lift, and it has this almost kind of pop element to it that I love. It's just got this real big hook. And I really wanted to lead off with that song because earlier in the year, as I mentioned, I put out a cover of that song from Information Society. And I felt like when I went into the studio to record Take Me, that it had a lot of the same production elements as the cover that I did. And when I went into the studio to do this song originally, it was at the tail end of the lockdown. So it was nice to spend time in the studio. It was just me and my engineer and really kind of be in this bubble where nothing was off limits. And originally, I really didn't want it to be a guitar-heavy song. And the original version of that song really didn't have a lot of guitar. It didn't have a guitar solo for sure. I wanted to go in a different direction and challenge myself. Stay away from the heavy guitars. Don't fall back on what I'm typically known for, and really explore other elements.
Now, you're working on a full solo album that's going to be coming out this year as well. What is your general approach for songwriting for the songs on the album?
So for the songs on the album, it's really finding that common thread so that all the songs fit under one umbrella. And sometimes that's tough for me because I write so many different styles. And, you know, again, as I mentioned, I write for a lot of different artists. So, you know, being that chameleon is definitely great as far as flexing my muscle, writing for other people, and being able to adapt to different situations. But when it comes then to doing your own thing and really targeting your own identity, like, hey, this is my stuff, sometimes it gets a little difficult. I got to be honest, because I'll start writing something and I'll be like, oh, well, no, maybe that doesn't really fit under this umbrella of what I'm trying to do. So I feel like with these first two songs that I've released so far in 2022, that it's a pretty good starting point as far as things to come. Now, I do have the next single actually already locked and loaded.
Nice.
And that'll be coming out after the first of the year. But that being said, it's a little more kind of raw rock and roll, definitely from, say, the style of Take Me, where I feel Take Me is a little more polished production and modern rock. The next single is a little grittier and a little more in that kind of classic rock vein. Now, the production is still the same style, but I think people are going to notice the feel is a little more raw. Which I like because it shows a little bit of diversity there, but still falls under the same umbrella of the other songs.
Now, there's also just this killer video for Take Me that it features, I believe it's the beautiful Emma Jay. Is that who stars in the video with you?
Yes, sir.
And you premiered that through Screamer Magazine. Can you tell us about that arrangement?
Yeah, so for the video, you know, I had the song finished and I sort of come up with ideas for the video. I knew that I wanted to release a video with the song. So I came up with the initial idea, and Emma Jay is definitely my partner in crime. She's kind of like my creative muse. We've been working on different projects together now for the past year. And she is the best barometer I could ask for as far as bouncing ideas back and forth and getting really great feedback and input and her, you know, being a part of the project. So I had this idea for the video, which is the story that you see in the video. And it's kind of this modern day Bonnie and Clyde with a dark twist. And I knew for this first video, I didn't want to do a performance piece. I didn't want to, you know, put the band, you know, in front of the camera and do the kind of the cut back and forth. I really wanted to tell a story. And what I got from this video is almost like a mini movie in 3 minutes and I think 49 seconds. And it was a big story to tell in such a small space. And, you know, I also at first was toying with the idea of, well, do we bring in, you know, a crew to film this, a director, Emma and I reached out to a few people that we really admired their work. But, you know, the thing for me was I wanted to keep creative control, and I felt like in staying true to the artistic vision that if I was going to do it, I really kind of wanted to do it myself. Now, granted, this was my first outing and Emma's first outing in doing this, but we felt with our experience in the past and all the other projects that we had done, that we could do it. And so, in this crazy decision, we decided, all right, let's go, you know, get the gear that we need and rent the cameras that we need, and let's tackle this ourselves. And I kind of look at this the same way as when I did my first album, the Fastback record. I did that myself, wrote those songs, did it with a buddy of mine, Brian Saunders, incredible bass player, who I've toured the world with in bands like Bang Tango and Tough. And I produced, mixed, wrote that whole thing and put it out myself. The only thing that I did not do was master that record. So it was almost kind of like in tandem with that. Doing this video was another experience of, okay, we're going to write the treatment. We're going to get all the gear together. We're going to film everything. We're going to do the editing, the color grading, the effects. And basically, you know, have creative control and put it out ourselves. And I got to tell you, man, it was an intense experience, but I loved every minute of it. And I cannot stress enough to other artists out there, as much as you can do yourself, tackle it. Learn, make mistakes, get your stuff together and get it out there for people to see, because I find that if you have to rely on other folks, right, it's either going to cost you a lot of money or it's going to take a lot of time. And the best, you know, person you have to rely upon is yourself. And then it stays true to your artistic vision. So I knew that if we did it ourselves, you know, we could go in and make as many revisions as we want. You know, we could take it, the story, and make sure it's told the right way. And again, man, I loved it from start to finish.
Michael, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always stream our shows at huntleyradio.com. It's been a blast talking to renowned musician and songwriter Michael Thomas, who currently thrills audiences around the world as the lead guitarist for Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses fame. To keep up to date on Michael's solo recordings and tour dates with Steven Adler, visit michaelthomas19.com. Here's the thrilling new single, Take Me, from Michael Thomas.
You wanted a spark. Well, you got a flame. Living a life you thought you could take. But those things you want, they aren't always what you need. Lies in the truth, they're one in the same. When the hope's not enough and you're down on your luck, yeah, it feels like you're losing the game. But those things you want, they aren't always what you need. When you go, the countdown to fortune and fame. There is no surrender, no rule you won't break. But those things you want, they aren't always what you need. When you go, I wanna make steps in your stride.
When you go.